Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, good morning. Rise and shine. You're on with the Due Time with Pastor Steph. How are you this morning? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? I hope you were with us, because yesterday we got the week started shaking the Monday morning blues together, that is, with the Due Time crew. And we talked about the dumbest arguments you have with your spouse. Oh my goodness, the Due Time crew was in full effect yesterday, identifying with some of these things here. Now, as a matter of fact, they identified with all of these things. And not only could they identify with it with a spouse, but they could identify with family members. Yes. What about the argument that starts from what you gonna have for dinner? Come on, y'all. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, you know, well, what do you have? I don't know. Well, what do you want to have? I don't know. And then when you get it, they said they go fuck wow, because that's not what they want. Well, I asked you, they say. Well, listen, I tell you, you know, it's a lot to be said for what we're going to eat tonight. And if you, you know, have anything in your head. Well, we got that old school one. Who didn't leave the toilet seat up? And who didn't leave the toilet seat down is the question of the hour. Yes, people are still having this issue because somebody ain't cooperating. Why? Why, you know, Brother Al says he's just going to take the whole toilet seat, put it in his backpack, and then let's figure out how we're going to work this thing out. Okay, no, but here's the funny one. Here is the funny one. No more toilet paper on the roll. Oh, my goodness gracious. How many of us have experienced that? Oh, my goodness. Just too much that you even want to be bothered getting all the way there. Use the bathroom and then realize there's no toilet paper. Well, you know, it's only so many times you're going to do that to me. I now walk in the bathroom and check before I even get started. Yeah, because of quite a few times rushing. You know how diabetics got to go to the bathroom. You know, that's always pressure. Get there and no toilet paper. Well, they even went a step further and talked about the fact that there was no toilet paper in the whole house. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, we talked about that one, too. And I'm sure there's a whole lot of other ones that you may think of. And there's a whole lot that I can think of. And there's definitely more on my list. So, guess what? We're going to continue this conversation next week. Yes, we had a ball yesterday having this chat. And we got to continue because there's so much more, so much more. Pastor Charlotte said we were all up in her house. Oh, my. How many other homes were we in? Yeah, we probably in a whole lot of houses. Well, we could not finish our morning without the Switch Tip with Shantice. Don't let in outside fears. Now, did you hear that yesterday? Could you identify with that one? You don't know what that means. Okay, let me just clear it up for you. You know, one of the things she brought up, which was her primary point, and this was so true. You know, you're already dealing with your own stuff, your fears, your reservations, you know, the things that you're not too, you're not too sure that you should be doing, you know, would be doing, want to do. Yeah, all of that. And when you share it, somebody else tells you how they feel. You shouldn't do that because of this and because of that and because of that and because of this, you know. And I'm going to give you a prime example that comes to my head. I remember I had gotten a new job, and I was talking to a girlfriend of mine. So I said, girl, you know, I'm not going to be here much longer. You know, I got a new job. And she was like, no. Don't tell me nothing about it. Now, this is quite some years ago, and, you know, I'm not where I am now, so I hadn't heard as much. And I was like, what? Why I can't say nothing? Why you don't want me to say nothing? She said, girl, because you're going to jinx it. And I looked at her, and I was like, are you serious? You just stopped me from sharing my news because you think I'm going to jinx it? That's what Shantice means when she says, do not let in outside. See, that's your hang up. Yeah, you know, you can't say nothing because if you say something too early, it's going to mess it up. I said, I got the job already. She said, no, you know, anything can happen. Just don't say nothing until you get there. I said, listen, I can't run with all of that. They're like, where you get that from? You know, people go through so much in their lives. And I'm like, yo, really? 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 I can't share my good news. Well, you know what? I just want to share my good news with you. And she said, no, tell me after you get it. I said, you ain't going to have to worry about me telling you then either. No, I'm not going through all of that because then if I say something then, it'll be another fear and I'll be shushing and you'll be shushing me. And no. And listen, there's no such word as jinx when you're under the banner of the Lord. You know, I always tell the congregation, I said, you know what? I said, you know, hey, don't let outside fears get to you. You know, no, for all jokes aside, I always tell them, I said, you know what? I want blessings with my name on it. See, that's why Stephanie has to live correct, because I want blessings with my name on it. I don't want blessings where the rain falls on the just as well as the unjust, because what happens then? Well, let me tell you what happens then. If I'm standing under Pastor Charlene's umbrella, and the only reason why I'm being covered from the rain is because Pastor Charlene's umbrella is up and I'm standing underneath Pastor Charlene's umbrella. The moment she moves, if I don't move with her, I now become uncovered and I'm all rained on and twisted. Okay? So, that's why I need the blessing with my name on it. So, I don't have to worry about ever being uncovered because God would, this would be distinct to Stephanie, this would be my own blessing. And I don't have to worry about what someone else does or what they don't do, because that won't determine or dictate what happens with me. So, you know, that's my little side note today about this business of don't say nothing too soon. You know, you got the job already. I got the job already. I was already hired. I start on September 3rd. I can't share with you because I haven't put my foot across the door. Well, guess what? That could happen too. Something could happen. I put my foot across the door. But it's not because I spoke about it too soon. Come on, people. You know, that's what Shanti's talking about. Don't let an outside fear. Don't let other people's insecurities and crazy thoughts and their madness, you know, affect how you live. You know, you stand your ground. That's why Pastor Steph talks to you every day. You can't let everybody influence your thoughts. So don't let in outside fears, is what Shanti said yesterday. And I put a stamp on that. There we go. There's the stamp I put on it, because I'm telling you, you already have to go through your own stuff. And now we're going to get all twisted because somebody else's insecurities or their thoughts or their beliefs. Listen, this is one of the reasons why you have to watch who you're talking to, because, you know, again, if you're easily influenced, then you definitely have to guard who you speak to. But the Bible tells us to be very careful of where our counsel comes from. So that's what Shantice was saying also. So, you know, so there's a Bible verse. Be careful of where your counsel comes from, because people can counsel you in word or deed. You look at somebody and they're doing something, and that's what you want to do. Well, everything is very targeted. And that's how I live my life, a very targeted life. Okay, as God has instructed me to do is what I'm going to do. I can't do what everybody else wants me to do. I can't do what everybody else thinks is good, thinks is right. No. Because then I'll be like that unstable man who's unstable in all his ways. Yeah. So, that's how we spent our Monday here on this Due Time with Pastor Steph. I had a good time yesterday. I had a very good time yesterday. Okay, so you make sure that you go back and listen just in case you missed it, because you got to get it. It was good yesterday. It was very good yesterday, and you know, you got to keep up with us. Remember, go back and listen. So today is Let's Talk About It Tuesday, Church Folk Day. Oh, yeah. And we have a special edition of Church Folk today. Yes, we're doing some shaking things up. You know, we are on our way to solidifying, you know, what God has for us for Let's Talk About It Church Folk Day. Well, let me finish it off. Let's Talk About It Tuesday, Church Folk Day. Yes. Yes, yes. And as he's solidifying things, let's stir it up a little bit. So I think you're going to like what we have for you today. You know, the ladies did a fantastic job for the past 2 weeks. But, I mean, have we ever not gotten the best? I don't care what we end up with. Yeah, you know, it's a lot of stuff is not planned. You know, it wasn't planned 2 weeks ago. I was like, okay, I don't have any clue as to what we're going to do today. But God always has a ram in the bush, and he does today. As the conversation was going on yesterday, something was planted. And I followed up on it, and I got an affirmative answer. Thank you very much. You know, I've been told that I'm persuasive, and I don't really think I'm persuasive. I just think people hear God in the conversation. Yeah, okay. I think they just hear God. I don't think they hear me. It's just my voice. So I'm wondering if they said, let me just say yes so we can shut her up. I'm sure that has happened quite often. But nonetheless, as long as it works in God's favor, as long as it's a blessing to you, I'll take it. I'll take it. I'll take it. So I thank you so much for joining us today for Let's Talk About It Tuesday, Church Folk Day. It still seems to be number one. So somebody's doing something right, don't you think? His name is God. Always doing it right. So we're about to take that break. So make sure you get that healthy breakfast. Make sure you, let's see what else you're supposed to do. Call and text a friend and let them know that it's due time with Pastor Steph is on and they need to be listening. Okay? Don't mess around and don't call somebody because that means you're not doing your job. And Pastor Steph needs you to do your job at all times. Okay? So don't move. Don't move. We'll be right back.
Pitt County Environmental Health presents another basic step to home food safety.
Keep raw meat, poultry, seafood, and eggs away from other foods. Do this in your shopping cart, bags, and fridge. And be sure to use a special cutting board for raw foods only.
To learn more about how Pitt County works to keep your food healthy and safe, visit us online at pittcountync.gov/environmental health.
Welcome back to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. It is Let's Talk About It Tuesday, Church Folk Day. Oh, yeah. Already at Tuesday. We were just shaking the Monday morning blues yesterday. And already we're here. Well, thank God for waking us up just one more again. And we're up in our right frame of mind. So my prayer is that you have prayed, and you're ready to get this day started, because you can't be ready to get your day started if you have not prayed, okay? And I don't mean swinging your feet off the bed talking about, thank you, Lord, for waking me up today. You know how many people tell me that? Oh, I give God thanks every day. When I get up out of my bed, I tell God, thank you for waking me up today. Get me up out of my bed. Is that all you said? Because I'm sure the Lord then did a whole lot more for you that just allow you to swing them feet. Now, I know that's big and that's monumental, but we can't cheat God out of, you know, what he's doing. What you get ready to get up and do all day? You about to give somebody 8 hours of a job, but you can't give God 8 minutes? Oh, did I say that? I'm sorry. Don't be mad. That's God. Remember, that's God. That's not Stephanie. It's God. All right. So remember, we just got finished hearing, and let me reiterate, because this is really important. You know, I think about how we got by all these decades, and our parents didn't separate no, you know, a cutting board. They didn't have no vegetable cutting board, meat cutting board, this cutting board, that cutting board. Nah, everybody just cut everything, and nobody took no alcohol and wiped it down after they got finished using chicken and meat and all the poultry. No, all of that stuff was not done. And we're still here. So this is one of the reasons why we need to give God thanks, because the stuff that people are not living through today, man, we have no problem with that earlier. Yes. So, you know, our little PSA says, handle your food properly. Yeah, you know, when you use that chicken, make sure you wash them hands, because everything you touch thereafter is contaminated. Yes. And people have been wondering why they've gotten sick. Yeah, it's all this little stuff that we do that cause contamination. Make sure you get that alcohol. You spray the alcohol. You know, you get all of the spray. Yeah, spray, and get, you know, that stopper you have in the sink. That needs to be sprayed, too. Yeah, the chicken that went down the sink, it's infected the stopper also. So let's be thorough. You know, listen, you can microwave your sponges. Yes, I know some people use paper towels. You know, let's talk about this today. You know, some people have opted for sponges. Some people have opted to use paper towels to wash dishes with. Some people have used, you know, those cloths, those blue and white cloths. You know, yes, you know what I'm talking about. The blue and white cloths that people use. All of those things are germ-ridden. Yes, paper towels are germ-ridden because whatever you unless you want to wash every dish with a new paper towel, you will get the same infection and everything. So listen, you can microwave your sponge and disinfect it. Yes, put some soap in it. Put it in the microwave for 1 minute, and you can disinfect your sponge. Yes. And if you get up and do that every morning for 1 week and then dispose of it, or we then use ours to clean with. Yeah, we have a rotation going on in my house. We then use it for cleaning and wiping down. And you can still disinfect it, but by that time, you know, it's just extra germy, so you just want to get rid of it at that point. But yes, and regardless, you cannot microwave a paper towel. You cannot microwave that blue little dish towel, but you can surely microwave and disinfect a sponge. So you get up every morning, you do that, and then after a few days, you throw it in the garbage. And sponges are cheap, so come on, don't be cheap. Safety. We're talking about food handling safety. Let's talk about it Tuesday. It's all of this kind of stuff that we're talking about. All right, get those pens out. We got some information to get today. Yes, we got some information to receive today. And we're kind of talking about what we just got finished hearing. We're talking about myths about protein that you need to stop believing. Yes. Okay. So let's see what they're saying. Well, myth number one, they say there's no such thing as too much protein. That is a myth because they say there are multiple reasons not to overdo it. Yes, you can have too much protein in your system. They say while a high protein diet may seem like a no-brainer, digesting protein raises blood levels of the waste product, uric acid, which your kidneys help flush out of your body. Okay? Eat way more than you need, and you can overtax the kidneys, leading to damage and conditions like gout. Okay? So, yes, you can have too much protein. Think about your poor little kidneys. Okay, so, you know, certain diets and things, eating programs, they encourage you to eat a lot of protein. Well, you have to give it a balance. You have to give it a balance, okay? So, yes, remember what they say, that it can raise your blood level of the waste product like uric acid, which your kidneys help flush out of your body. If you eat way more than you need, and you can overtax the kidneys, leading to damage and conditions like gout. Okay? All right. Number two. Where's my second one? You can't get enough complete protein just from plants. You can, they say. That's a myth. You can get enough protein from just plants. Okay? They say experts used to think that you had to pair certain plant proteins to get a complete protein regimen for your body. But they say no, that's you can do whatever it is with the plants, eat enough, and you can have a healthy body. They say vegetarians do it all the time. And make sure you get those beans, the nuts and seeds. Yes. Because that helps to boost the plants in your body, okay? So make sure you get the broccoli, bean sprouts, green peas, and spinach, okay? Focus on those, and you can get that protein you need from those plants, okay? But again, you're going to boost that with beans, nuts, and seeds, okay? Now, aren't those things always on our list? Okay, so this is just an overlapping of a list. You should still have this stuff, okay? Oh, myth number three. Eating cheese is a great way to get protein. Okay. They say, yes, cheese is high in protein, but it is not a great way to get protein. Okay? Yes, they don't overdo the cheese. You can overdo the cheese. That don't believe the hype, they say. Don't believe the hype. Okay? It's not a great way to get to get protein, because it has other stuff in it. Okay? So, don't overdo it. Balance out your diet. That's the word I want to use. Balance out your diet. Oh, they say myth number four, animal protein causes cancer. Oh, no. They say they make a connection to meeting cancer, but it's not because it's animal protein. No. You have to remember everything is related and connected. You know, the neck bone connected to the shoulder bone. Yeah, everything. They say you have to watch what you're eating, okay? They said that you don't overeat the red meat, processed meat, bacon, and sausage and ham, and well, that's all pork. We ain't supposed to be eating that, no way. Yes, we ain't supposed to be eating that, no way. And they said that, yes, you know, eating for some people, it would, you know, kind of launch some things. But again, it's about your body. So that's why they say make sure you balance your plate. Don't overdo it. You know, don't just only eat red meat. Don't eat an abundance of red meat, because you don't know your body. And the doctors couldn't tell you it either. Every time I turn around, somebody else is getting cancer from something. It's some kind of cancer. So, you know, we have to balance our the way we eat, because anything, remember everything we've been reading when it comes to this health thing, we're talking about, well, this particular food helps fight this particular cancer, and this food helps to fight this particular cancer. So remember, these, you know, all of these things are connected to something, to some part of that would do some damage or break down a part of your body or an organ. Or we just got finished seeing that, you know, the too much protein will break down your kidneys. So everything is connected. Okay, so that's why they tell us to keep eating a lot of fruit, vegetables, fish, things like that, because it reduces cancer. All right, so just make sure you balance that plate properly, and you ain't got to worry about it. Okay, well, at least not from your end. You know, we can't help what happens to our body on the other side, okay? On myth number five, protein powders and bars are a great way to up your protein intake. Well, we already know that that's a myth, because we've definitely come across this before. Yeah, those protein bars and all of those things, they have a lot of sugar. A lot of sugar, a lot of preservatives, yeah, because they have to stay on the shelf. So it can't be in natural form, because if it's in, listen, everything in produce has an expiration period. And if you do not preserve it properly, you know, whether it's on the shelf or the refrigerator. Remember, we went through that. Don't keep it in the refrigerator, because some of the stuff that it's even in the refrigerator department, they're telling us don't put it in the refrigerator, because it's all about how this stuff is preserved. If you're eating protein bars, that has to be preserved. What does that mean? It has preservatives. We don't know what's in the preservatives. All right, so that can't be this whole, you know, hey, this provides an extra boost of protein, or it's great with in protein. Well, not when it's killing us on the other side or breaking us down on the other side. Okay, so instead of running after the protein bars, get that natural fruit, get those natural nuts, everything directly into your system. And they say if you must go for the protein bars, 3 grams of fiber is pretty much what you're looking for. Okay? You need something with at least 3 grams of fiber. Remember, that's what we want to eat daily to keep that gut moving properly. Okay? We don't eat that properly. We don't go to the bathroom properly. We don't go to the bathroom properly. We got other issues. Okay, so let me just go over that again, the myths of protein. Number one, there's no such thing as too much protein. Myth number two, you can't get enough complete protein just from plants. Number three, eating cheese is a great way to get protein. Number four, animal protein causes cancer. And five, protein powders and bars are a great way to up your protein intake. So those are the myths. Okay? All right. Well, it's time for our wacky news. Yes, I call it wacky news because are we hearing things that make sense these days? No. Well, here's one story I wanted to make sure that I went back to. Remember about a month ago or so, you know, time goes by so quickly. Remember I talked about the man who killed the two children because he said that the mother had serpent DNA? Come on, you gotta remember. Yes, I know. See, I knew you would remember. Poor little babies, he killed them with a spear gun, remember? Oh, yes. In California, yes. Well, he was indicted by a federal grand jury for taking his children's lives, and he was charged with 2 counts of foreign first, Lord have mercy, with foreign first degree murder of United States nationals. Now, didn't we talk about this before? I said, you go and kill somebody, and they got 9 things that they charge you with. You know, you got the possession of a deadly weapon, use of a weapon, a weapon with a point that's 10 inches long. It was green instead of red. Yeah, every day, man, I tell you, they are pulling up stuff out of the wazoo. They are. Here it is firsthand. Now, all we had at the time was that he took the children from California, I believe, to Mexico. And he, remember the mother was afraid and she called the cops. And, you know, he said that the children had monsters in them and they had DNA from the mother, which was serpent DNA and all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. Remember that? Yes. Okay. Well, he killed. He killed them with the spear. So that's the information we had. So we know he was going away for murder and so forth and so on. Well, let me read it to you again. He was charged with 2 counts of foreign first degree murder. So I guess that's different than murdering somebody on U.S. soil. Yeah, you didn't wait and took them. So now they're calling it murder. Foreign. Wait, where's my little thing here? Foreign first degree murder of United States nationals, and that's because the babies were born here in America. So that separated you know, you from just killing somebody over in Mexico. I guess Mexico would have charged you for killing them over in Mexico. Yeah. Two counts. Now, that's just that. Remember now, they're going after the spear thing, and yeah, they will do that. This is just the main thing that they have charged him with. Yeah, and he's eligible for the death penalty. So, let me hear from my listeners. 347-285-7777. Shantice, I want you to put out a poll. Should this man receive the death penalty? Come on, let me hear from you. Don't leave me out there. No judgment here. Just want to hear what you think. If you're listening to the story, if you remember, now let me just go over the story with you for a quick second. He kidnapped the children. Yes, they called it kidnapping. And that's another charge that he's going to face too. He kidnapped the children. He took them over into Mexico because he believed his children were going to grow into monsters. So he had to kill them. Okay, remember he said that the mother's DNA was a snake DNA, and because they were born from the mother, that they would automatically inherit this snake DNA. Yes, so he took the children over to Rosarito, Mexico, and killed them with the spear. And they were babies. They're not giving their ages here, but they were little people. Yeah, they were little people, like 5 and something like that. Yeah. So they're going after him. So they are definitely seeking the death penalty. And I want to know what you think. All right? Should he get the death penalty? Or shouldn't he get the death penalty? Like I said, you know, no judgment here. I'm just curious. What do we think? You know, sometimes hearing these things make you, you know, switch gear and, you know. So, you know, I wouldn't say yes, but so let me hear what you got. Shantice, again, please do that poll for me and see what the people say. Okay? Throw that article in there so they can see in case they need to be familiarized. Okay, so here they are. 2-year-old son and 10-month-old daughter. I didn't even make, I thought it was 5. Yeah. Oh, my God. 2-year-old son and 10-month-old daughter, he believed, were going to grow into monsters. Remember he said he thought they were going to kill him, so he had to kill them first? Yeah. Okay. Woo! Let me hear from you. All right. You know what? Let's talk about it Tuesday. I know you're not talking about me. Talk about it. Come on. Let's talk about it. I need to hear. Okay. So now they got this. They're getting a new rule. They're going to let the burglars and drug dealers have their records wiped clean, so that they now can find jobs. So here's the deal. Criminals who have served jail sentences of more than 4 years, they have to report to their employer that they have a record. Yes. Yes. And I know, you know, in more recent years, and I've been out of work for 10 years now this year, but they were quickly, states were flipping as to whether they can put that on an application. So they would change, we had to change a lot of the applications because I worked for a company, we had 12 locations and, you know, in 12 different states. We had to change because certain states wouldn't allow you to ask any longer, do you, you know, have you ever been to jail or convicted of a crime? Yeah, you couldn't put that on there. But for certain things, if you served a jail sentence more than 4 years, you have to tell your employer. Okay? And it's called the Ministry of Justice's Rehabilitation Plan that is getting this pushed where you don't have to tell that any longer. Okay? Now, they're calling it, once you get past 7 years, they're calling it spent time. So remember years ago when we would have something on our credit report for 7 years, and then it would automatically drop off? Well, now it's up to 12 years. So I find it interesting that you can leave my credit for 12 years, but now these people can get it wiped off after 7. And they're saying that, you know what, if they have spent that many years not, you know, doing any crime, then they should have that wiped out. They're like, you know, these people have spent like 11, 12, 13 years past the time that they were, you know, had served their time. So, you know what, why not give them a clean slate and get them started all over again where they can get these particular jobs that they're applying for, and nobody has to worry about, you know, what they have done. Now, there is an exemption. If you've had a violent, sexual, or terrorist offense, nah, they ain't trying to hear that one. You stay, that's going to stay on your record for the rest of your life. Ooh, not only stay on your record for 12 years, for the rest of your life. But they're saying, you know, for people who have burglarized and dealt drugs, why make them unemployable? You know, they could have, you know, been rehabilitated. You know, maybe you sold drugs because, you know, you had your family, you know, in mind. Or, you know, maybe you burglarized, you know, because you were just going through a stupid phase in your life or something like that. So, you know, because those are phaseable, you know, offenses, hey, you know, let's let them rock. After 7 years, they should be able to, you know, get a second chance. Okay, so that's what they're going to do. That's what they're going to start to do. Okay, and they're saying that it's a part of a series of changes under which jail sentences of less than a year will become spent after 12 months. So they're even doing that much. Okay, if you've spent less than a year in jail over something in 12 months after, then you don't have to worry about it no more. Okay? So, of course, there are people who say, hold on a minute, hold on a minute, hold on a minute. If an employer wants to give another chance, then let them give another chance. However, don't dupe them into believing that they're hiring people that don't have a criminal history. They should be, you know, that should be on their heart to do it on their own. But it's not fair not to tell them. What do you think? What do you think? I want to hear what you think. 347-285-7777. Hit Shanti's up and let her know. Yes, I think that they should be given a second chance. And their employer should have a record in front of them or a background check in front of them that does not have their past offenses on it. You know, they're talking 7 years. In 7 years, you know, there should be a chance for them to get back into this world and have a clean slate. What do you think? I want to hear from you. I definitely want to hear from you. Or are you with the group that says, you know what, leave it there. They've done it. It should be still sitting out there so that a potential employer knows that, hey, this is what they've done, but you know what? I want to give them a pass and give them another chance because maybe they've changed, and let them do that on their own. That should not be something that, you know, they should be duped into believing that they didn't hire somebody who's clean and clear, and that's not fair to the rest of the people who have lived a clean and clear life. Okay? What are you thinking? Tell me what you're thinking. All righty. Well, well, well. Here's my story of the day. We've been talking about how people put things on Facebook. and why they shouldn't put things on Facebook. Well. In Singapore, a man who had been with his wife, and now he's estranged from his wife at the moment, okay? He had been with his wife for a certain amount of years. They're young, too. They're only like 27 and 30 years old. He's 27, she's 30. So they've been together for a few years. And he found out or had suspicions that she was having an affair. So what he did was he stole her phone. He took pictures. Why people have pictures and record? What are you doing recording this stuff? I just don't understand. Well, she was cheating. Guess what, Brother Al? With the supervisor. Oh, yeah. She was sleeping with the supervisor. And he had a suspicion. He went in her phone. He took pictures of her pictures. He sent over the video recordings. And he posted this on Facebook. Now, let me tell you how he got the phone. Like I said, they were strange. He was over our house. He actually could have used the bathroom. And somehow or another, between him using the bathroom and her doing whatever she was doing, he got a hold of her phone. He stole the phone. He took the phone out the house. He stole the phone, did whatever he did, and he gave it back to her. But he never told her what he had done. Okay? And when he posted it on Facebook, let me help you understand something. See, y'all are getting these phones that have these clear images. Well, guess what? They said you could see everything. Facial recognition and everything. Put it on the Facebook post, and that's how it ended up going viral. They had 1,000 comments that had been shared 2,000 times, and it had gotten 3,000 likes. Oh, my goodness. Over 1,000 of everything. Over 1,000 of everything. All right? Yeah, you worried about your stuff hitting Facebook? Yeah. And he put in the caption that the supervisor was a homewrecker and told who gave the name of the supervisor. Oh, he went straight off. Well, let me help you understand what happened to him. He ended up being arrested. Yes, because in Singapore, this stuff is not allowed. So check out what he's been charged with. Theft in dwelling. Theft in dwelling. The fact that he stole the phone from the house. Theft in dwelling, which carries a jail term of up to 7 years and a fine. And he's been charged with distributing intimate images, and that carries a term of 5 years or a fine or caning or a combination of all of those things. See, what we get away here with in America, they ain't doing that over in other countries. Okay? So, I mean, what would we be charged with the way they post stuff over here in America on Facebook? Just being a dumb criminal that they need to go to jail for 7 years. Yes, that's how it's going down over in Singapore. Theft in dwelling, you can serve up to 7 years and a fine. Distributing intimate images, you could serve up to 5 years, a fine, or caning, or all of the above. Oh, my. Where are my guests? Let's say good morning to our Pastor Charlene. Let's get to talking about this stuff. Good morning, Pastor Charlene.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you today?
I am well. Thank you. I am well. I'm well. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. I'm doing okay.
That's good. That's good. That's good. Oh, Pastor Shaw, what are we talking about today? So, do you remember the story of the man who killed the two little kids?
Yes, I do. As you was talking, yes.
Yes, so he's been indicted, and he's been charged with a foreign first-degree murder of United States nationals. What you think about that one?
I thought it was actually kind of funny. I was like, a foreign? Why would? Okay. If they say so, I just think that he should get what he get. I don't care how many charges. They should add on some things, some more things on him.
Oh, no, he's going to get the other stuff. Oh, you better believe he's going to get the spear thing. He's going to get the way he handled the kids, the kidnapping. Oh, he's going to get all of that. But I believe that this hit the news because of the charge, the main charge. Right. Foreign first-degree murder of United States nationals, which appears to carry a larger jail term than just straight first-degree murder, period. So I think they just trying to smash him as much as possible. What you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think that they using him as an example because they always have to have an example for somebody.
Yeah.
So
all the time.
They're going to use him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So too bad for you who think that your children were going to kill you. Oh, now you're going to wish you were dead because they're going to smash him. Mm-hmm. Oh, you better believe they getting him. They're getting him. All right. Now, what about our burglars and our drug dealers being given an opportunity to get their slates wiped clean so that the employer doesn't know, the potential employer doesn't know that they've served that time? Which side of the fence are you on? Are you on the side of the fence? Well, you know what? They need to have the slate wiped clean so that no one knows because they haven't committed a crime since they've 7 years after they finished serving their time. Or I think that the employer should know about their background, that they were a drug dealer or a burglar or a little petty crime, and because they should know who they're getting. What side are you on?
I think that they should know. I think that you should know who you are hiring, and this way that you are aware of it, because next thing I know, he be in there selling drugs on my job. You know what I mean? And I would want to know, because you never know.
Okay.
He'll come back and do it again.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay. Oh, we got the background going today. Okay. Now, so we got our last story, and that's with the husband who posted all the wife's naughty goodies. They said, so wait, Nitzel, let me tell you the second part of the story. So he did it the first time, and then what he did was he then took it off Facebook. He blocked the faces but left the breasts out and the names, and he put the names in. But you couldn't see the faces. But he left the breasts and the names. So either way, he got a possible jail term coming to him. What do you think about that?
Wait, you want to take the face off, but you going to put the name?
And left the breast.
That was my first
thing. The breast.
Right, yes.
Left the breast.
You want to show the body.
Breast and the name.
Right, you want to show
right.
The body.
Yep.
And put the name.
The body, but no face. Right. Body and name, but no face.
I think he's crazy too. He my thought is that he was hurt, you know, and he felt that he was going to get it back. He probably didn't even think about his jail time, or he thought about, you know what, so what? You know, I'm just going to get her, and I'm going to get it. Because for me, the people on Facebook, I think that's how they think. Oh, well, so what? It's out there. And they don't even think about, you know, care about what's going to happen behind them.
Nah.
So him. I can't even imagine. Mm-hmm. Can't even imagine, you know, his feelings. But did he might have took it out, but did he might have took it for him to bring it back for just think your phone, why my phone's not ringing? That's the first thing that you're going to think. If
right.
somebody took your phone out of your house, right, the first thing you're going to say, why my phone's not ringing? Let me find where my phone is. So maybe he went
right.
to the car, did what he had to do, you know, oh, I forgot something in the car, did what he had to do and brought her phone back for her not to know that it was missing. Because you can't take a phone overnight without somebody knowing that it's gone.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Right. I agree with you. He probably didn't have it for a long period of time. I agree. I agree with you 100%. You know, you got it. Because remember now, he took the picture off his phone. So he took the picture off his phone, and then he forwarded the videos. And that doesn't take a long time to do. So like you said, you know, she'd have moved around and she's doing whatever she's doing, may not have recognized that the phone was gone. So, yeah. And in the interim, 1,000 likes, 2,000 shares, and 1,000 comments, 2,000 shares, and 3,000 likes. Man,
well,
that's a whole lot of Facebook traveling. Yep, that's right. That's right.
He went to every person, because what all you got to do is hit one person. You hit one person, and they're going to share with everybody. So everybody on the job, and then everybody
Absolutely.
That they know. So there it goes.
Yep. And that's how the boss found out. That's how the supervisor found out. Somebody called him and told him that this thing was circulating. And then she got a call, and that's how she found out that it was circulating. Ooh. Man,
wow.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's how they found out. People started calling. So, let me get to my other guest today. We have the pleasure, you know, of hearing for the first time, Elder Leebeard. Guess who he's connected to? Wow. Pastor Charlene, who is that?
That's my husband.
Well, good morning, Elder Beard.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you?
I am doing well, thank you. I'm doing well. How are you feeling today? Thank you for joining us.
Oh, I'm feeling great. It's good to be alive.
All righty, good. Because we need you on to give us this, you know how we do. You listen every day. So we got our feedback of, what are you thinking of this, these crazy news stories we have here. So we have the man that was indicted for killing his two kids, and now he's being charged with, I want to read this again because I'm just amused, with the two counts of foreign first-degree murder of United States nationals. Can you imagine you're considered a United States national at 2 and 10 months old? What do you think?
I think he learned a lesson that you can't mess with Americans. I bet he learned that lesson. No matter how old they were American citizens. And what you did was wrong. You may have to think that over about being foreigner, because he's really the foreigner. Them kids are Americans.
Absolutely.
So an American justice took over.
I say so. You know, you drove them over into Mexico and did what you did, and you thought, I guess maybe he thought killing them on Mexican soil was going to make the difference. I don't know. Well, it made a difference all right, didn't it?
I guess he found out, that's for sure.
Absolutely. It did make a difference. It made a difference in a way he didn't think it would, because I have never heard of this particular charge before. This is something new to my hearing. So I don't think he was anticipating hearing all of that. Nah, I don't think he was ready for that one. Okay, so tell me, what do you think, which way do you go on this the burglars and drug dealers getting their records wiped clean, so that the potential employer don't know that this is their history. Now, for those who might be just joining us, the new rule that they're trying to push is if you've committed a crime and you were a burglar or a drug dealer, like little petty crimes, after 7 years, after you've served your sentence, your jail sentence, your record is wiped clean so that potential employers don't have your criminal history in front of them, and you are no longer obligated to tell them that you've committed these crimes. On the flip side, now, with the exception of any terrorists, sexual or violent acts, those stay on your record for the rest of your life. They're not trying to wipe those out. On the flip side, we have those that say, hold on a minute. You know, if I'm in a potential employer, I think I would want to know. If I chose to give them a second chance, then let me make that decision on my own. But do not dupe me into believing that, you know, this person has a clean history and I don't have anything to be concerned with. So I put out there 347-285-7777. I want to hear from you. Please tell Shantice what side of the fence you're on. Are you on a side that says, hey, you know what? Everybody deserves a second chance. It was only a petty crime for some people. Drug dealers, burglars, that may have been, you know, 7 years. That might be out their system. Give them an opportunity and have that slate wiped clean. Or, nope, I want to hear what they did and let me make that decision on my own as to whether I'm going to hire them or not. Which side of the fence do you fall on, Elder Bid?
That's a tough one. But I think that the employer should have the discretion of whether he wants to hire them or not. And he can also say, well, they served their time, because he might give them a job, like the drug dealer could turn into a distribution a distribution worker, or one of those petty thieves might get a job in the bank, because they used to handling money or whatever. So it can go two ways. That
wow,
the employer should have the discretion to give them a second chance, because
wow,
they may have gotten rehabilitated. That's the way I feel about that.
Wow. Well, you know what? I have to tell you, I didn't think about the fact that, yeah, you know, you the petty thief could now get a job in a bank, and he won't be a petty thief anymore, possibly. He'll have a whole lot of money. Wow. Well, you know what? For jobs like that, it's a little different, because you're kind of vetted, and they do some heavy background, you know, on you like that. You know, when you're going into a banking job, you know, they really do some research. So you may not be able to get away with it. You know, you may be able to get away with being a distribution person quicker than you can get a bank job, because bank jobs, they do a little more digging. You know, you got to give them a whole lot more info, and you are fingerprinted and things like that. So I don't know if you'll be able to get away with that one, but you're right. You know, you may end up in a place, you know, where it may make your craft a whole lot easier. So you're right. This is a lot to think about, Elder Bid. Well, we got the couple who was posting on Facebook. All their goodies was out. Positions were shown. Oh, yeah, he went buck wild. He put everything out there. They said it was extremely explicit. What do you think? And he's going to jail for this, possibly.
No, what I think, Pastor Steph, he should have watched that program, Cheaters. He should have got somebody else to help him to investigate that. This way, he wouldn't have been so involved in it. Those Cheaters, they would have uncovered all that, and it probably would have saved them a lot of time. That definitely that jail time.
Oh, yeah. You know,
Facebook is something. You know all your business. Facebook people tell about their vacations, Birds just know when you're going away and when you're coming back.
I know. And, they just put everything out there.
Yeah, he should have gotten in touch with cheetahs so that they could have investigated that for him. He'd have been better off by doing that.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. They couldn't have pointed no finger at him necessarily. And the cheater, the investigator for the cheaters would have known what would have been offensible versus him just being emotional and putting that out there. I agree, Elder Beard. I agree. Well, thank you so much for weighing in on our, you know, on our news. And we're going to take a quick break and do a little reset. And we'll be right back. Hold on to your seat.
In Alabama, there are more than 1,400 kids just like us with all kinds of childhood cancers and blood disorders, like leukemia, tumors, and sickle cell. Over 90% of us receive treatment and family-centered care at the Alabama Center for Childhood Cancer and Blood Disorders at Children's of Alabama, where some of the brightest minds and most compassionate hearts are committed to finding a cure.
We're committed to a cure.
And you can be too.
The morning without some dew. Spend yours with Pastor Steph.
Welcome back to Let's Talk About It Tuesday, Church Folk Day on It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And we're talking with the Beards, our Pastor Charlene Beard and our Elder Lee Beard today. And we just got finished talking about our wacky news. And we're getting ready to talk about some church folk and how they do their thing. And I want to know if you've submitted your vote. We've got, should the burglars and drug dealers have their record, their criminal records wiped clean and given another chance with the employer not knowing that they have a criminal history? Or should they, you know, should the employer be told? Or what's your other vote when it comes to, I don't know, I forgot. Oh, Sean T, you're going to have to give me a hand. Text me and let me know what my question was. See what happens when my brain moves on? Oh, let me say good morning again to the Beards. Good morning, Elder Lee Beards, Pastor Charlene Beards. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, as soon as I got ready to say it, Pastor Charlene, my brain went blank. Completely blank. I was like, well, I don't know what I was getting ready to say. Oh, thank you, Shantese. Okay. I need to know whether you feel that the gentleman, or we call him a gentleman, who killed the two children, the 2-year-old and the 10-month-old child, should he receive the death penalty? Okay. All right. So let me know. Let me know, let her know so she can let me know and we can find out, you know, what people are saying. Okay. Thank you, Shantice. Everybody's got my back. Everybody's got my back. Okay. So, to the Beards, welcome to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. We've got a little special edition of Church Folk going on. We got the pastor and the elder in the house. And we're going to shake things up again, you know, this week, like we did for the past 2 weeks before we land on our feet and get our quote-unquote regulars in here. And I figured this would be a nice opportunity for us to float and do some things a little differently. And last night I was trying to think of, you know, some of the things that the elders and the pastors go through. And one of the things I thought about was the disrespectful things that they say to you or they can say. Pastor Charlene, yes or no, have you experienced this disrespectful behavior from the congregants?
Oh, absolutely.
All right. Right. Okay. Elder Bid, what about you?
Yes, I can piggyback off my wife. Yes, I've had comments thrown at me from the congregants.
Okay.
That was disrespectful.
Wow. I'm sure you have, because I don't think there's one pastor, elder, overseer, whoever it is, who have not experienced some disrespectful behavior or talk. And I pulled up some stuff. So the question is it funny or disrespectful? All right? All right, here we go. Okay. A congregant said to a male pastor, "You need to wear a bra when you preach." You need to wear a bra when you preach. What you say, Pastor Charlene? Disrespectful
so
or funny?
So disrespectful. But that was funny, though.
And I had to make sure I prefaced it and let you know it was a male pastor. Is the Elder Ben funny or disrespectful?
Totally disrespectful. But I want to say, apparently, the person must have thought that the pastor was overweight and he had those man boobs, I guess. So he was being disrespectful, but probably to him it was true and funny.
But, you know, and it's, you know, it, and it's fun, you know, because when I read it, I chuckled when I read, because initially it didn't say it was a male pastor. It just said, so I'm saying to myself, well, it was a woman. You would think it's a woman, and then they had in parentheses that it was a male pastor. And I said to myself, I said, really, y'all? That's what we say to one another? You go to your pastor and tell him you need to wear a bra when you preach? Like I said, I chuckle too. But I'm like, yo, that is straight up disrespectful. Oh, my goodness gracious. Okay. So another comment. I can't run the media and worship God at the same time. I can only worship God with my eyes closed. Help me out. Help me out, Elder Bid. Disrespectful or funny? We need our media center up and running, and this is what you say.
I would say disrespectful, because
why?
For myself, when I have a word to give, I can't look at people because their faces that would definitely turn me off. You see those faces that look like they stuck in on lemons or they nodding off. That's disrespectful. I would take that as total disrespect. You bring it forth the word. They don't know what you had to go through to get that word to them.
Oh.
So they're being disrespectful to me.
All righty. What about you, Pastor Charlene?
Okay, you said the media, so they doing it. I thought it was funny because evidently you don't know that you can praise God with your eyes open. You could praise God when you're walking down the street. You could praise God in your shower, no matter where you at. So you'll close yourself up in just one place. So to me, that was a little funny. Well, you know, I got a joke for everything. So.
Okay. All right. Congregant says, don't forget, you're only the preacher. You're here to marry, bury, and preach, but not lead or make decisions. I can't laugh behind this stupid stuff. Pastor Charlene, disrespectful or funny?
disrespectful. That was
Why?
So disrespectful.
Because
a pastor is going to be in, we have to make sure that everybody is doing their job. We have to make sure that everybody is on point, because if we don't, then we have crazy. So don't come and tell me my job. What is yours? What are you doing? What are you doing? What job are you supposed to be doing? That would be my question. What are you doing? You worried about me. What are you doing?
Elder B, just don't forget, you're only the preacher. You're here to marry, bury, and preach, but not lead or make decisions. Disrespectful or funny?
That's disrespectful. Good, as my pastor said, I'm a leader. I do things. I clean the bathrooms. I mop the floors. I vacuum. What are you doing? If I'm not just being a leader, but I'm doing servant stuff. That's it. I'm a servant. How about you try doing being a servant and stop running your mouth as much as you do?
Would you say that to the person? would that be your response?
I would say it in love, but I would definitely have.
Wait, you say what you just said in love, or would you use different words?
I would say it in love. First thing I would say, well, what would Jesus do? And then I would proceed with what I had to tell him. Because by them being disrespectful to me, I would just give them a taste of their own medicine.
In love.
In love.
Okay, I want to hear that one. I want to be standing on the sidelines when that response comes out in love. I need to just let me know. Before you respond, just call Pastor Steph and put me on speaker. That's all I need. That's all I need. I want to hear it. All right? All right. I want to hear a response to that in love. Okay? All right. What are you saying to the person who says, I really appreciate the content of your sermons, but I can't stand to watch you as you deliver it? What do you say to them, Elder B? You giving them that in love, too?
Ooh, that's a tough one, Pastor Steph. But I would give them an option. I'd say, you didn't have to stay. I've noticed that you were nodding out when somebody starts to preach. So you can be dismissed if you would like to. You don't have to stay and listen to this. We got free will. So I would let them know that you got free will. You can be dismissed. You don't have to stay here. If I'm boring you or if I'm troubling you with our message, feel free. Feel free to be dismissed.
Pastor Charlotte, that's what Elder Bid would say. I would love to hear what you would say.
I think I'm rubbing off on them.
I would love to.
Well, you know. Well, you know, if you're not pleased, you know, I love you with the love of the Lord. But I can also help you find where that you will be.
I knew that one was coming. I knew that one was coming. I can always find you another church.
I had this nice pastor. She show you much love, and I will send her send you right on over to her.
Who would that be? Oh, no. No, see, Pastor Charlotte, let me help y'all understand something. Y'all wouldn't want to send them to me. Because, see, all this y'all got going on, nah. I have somebody looking in my face telling me, I really appreciate the content of your sermons, but I can't stand to watch you as you deliver it. You don't want to send them to me, Pastor Charlotte. Because there would be no more in due time with Pastor Steph. Man, it would be over. Because I'm not giving them the love of the Lord. No. How you step into somebody like that? No. No. Y'all have just lost your mind. No. I keep telling you. I'm not trying to find you another church. No, I would say, you know what? You enjoy the content in the sermon. You decide whether you want to live eternally or you want to go to hell. You work that out. You can't stand to watch me. No, close your eyes. Close your eyes. You ain't got to watch. Just listen. That's why God gave us 5 senses. You ain't got to look. Listen. It says those who hear. It ain't saying nothing about those who see. So if you can't stand to watch me, that's fine. Sit outside. I'll put a speaker out there for you. And you can listen to Pastor Steph all day. I don't care nothing about the way you feel about looking at me. You don't want to send them here. You don't want to send them here, Pastor Charlotte. No.
Well,
and I keep telling you, stop finding these people in church.
But listen, I thought of some of that, but I was really trying to do, the nice way. Because, I'm always sending somebody, you're not happy here. So we won't have that, Let's go on, baby. I love you. I love you both. I love you.
No, I ain't finding you no church because I'm not giving somebody else your hell. No, I love that person too much to give them your hell. I'm not helping you find no church. I told you that before. Stop helping people find a church. If they your problem, then tell them to go find their own church. No, I no more finding your church. All right. Listen to what you were also told. Pastor Charlotte, we're already saved. Yes. We don't need to hear the gospel every time someone gets up to the pulpit.
What?
Yes. These are real statements. These are real comments. We're already saved. We don't need to hear the gospel every time someone gets up to the pulpit.
That's just straight crazy. Oh, you didn't have crazy. You only had funny and disrespectful.
Disrespectful.
Okay. So I got to pick one. Okay. I'm going to say disrespectful to the Lord because you don't know him. Because what's coming out of your mouth, see, that's one of the moments that I had to say, I'll be right back because I will have to get myself together to come back to talk to them. For real. That's one of the moments right here. You know how you got to say, I'll be right back. Let me just get a minute, because you want to come back right. And it would be crazy for me too. So I couldn't even put it in. Disrespectful to the Lord, disrespectful to the house. Just, I would need to come right back. Let me go away for a minute and I'll be back. That would be one of the moments for me. Yeah.
Okay.
I wouldn't even know how to. Yeah.
Okay, we're going to have some classes. We're going to have some classes. We're really going to have to have a class if Pastor Beard, if Elder Beard don't answer this one right. All right, Elder Beard, they stand in your face saying, we already saved. We don't need to hear the gospel every time someone gets up in the pulpit. What do you say?
That's disrespectful. I'm going to ask him, do you hear the words that are coming out of your mouth? First of all.
If
you don't want to be saved, why are you here? You got a choice. You chose to be here, so now you have to pay the price. You're going to have to, if you say that you don't want to hear what I have to say, I told you before, you have free will.
Oh, I need to hold some classes for y'all. We have to have some classes. We have to have some classes for y'all. All right.
Okay.
All right. Here's the next one. Here's the next one. Yeah, no. We have to respond. Responding to the disrespectful congregant class. Okay. Yes.
Okay.
Here we go. Here's the next one.
Okay.
I want you to close your Bible and open up your heart. Oh, God. All right, so I gave you a chance to think about it. Come on, Elder Beard.
I would say those would be disrespectful because those are the ones that don't even come to church with a Bible. So they have no Bible to close. So I would...
No, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, no, I would definitely speak to them because I would respond to, where is your Bible? You have no Bible to close. What is it that is troubling you that you have to come in here and disrespect me?
Okay. All right. Class is officially open. Come on, Pastor Charlotte. What say you?
First of all, the Bible is the one that's going to help you clean your heart out because you need the scriptures for you to know them. So if you close your Bible, then you won't be able to read the scriptures to know what you should be doing and how you should respond. So.
Yeah. Okay. Disrespectful? Oh,
yes. Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay. Okay.
Oh, I thought I said that first. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. No, you went straight into you got to have the Bible open.
Oh.
But it's okay. I assumed you meant disrespectful, but, you know, I just wanted you to say
yes,
it. Yes,
thank you. I'm sorry.
Okay. It's okay. I know what the Bible says, but we have to do what's right.
Oh.
Pastor Charlotte. I know what the Bible says, but we have to do what's right. That's what your congregant told you.
The right. Oh, disrespectful to the word of God, disrespectful. Even to the leader. Disrespectful because of the fact that what is right is in the Bible. It is the truth, it is the way, the truth, and the life. But therefore, that we have to be able to read it to know what is truthful. You cannot go on what you want it to be. It's not about you. It's about God's word. Disrespectful.
Elder Ben, I know what the Bible says, but we have to do what's right. Disrespectful or funny?
Disrespectful, because the word of God is true, and we have been commissioned to preach and teach the good news in season or out of season. So, I would not want to hear that comment. And that's disrespectful.
Okay,
because
okay.
We are ambassadors.
Okay, all right. All right, Elder Ben, it's on you first. We're not going door to door and evangelize. That's what we pay you to do.
that's disrespectful. And to me, that would be the ones that call themselves evangelists. Well, if you're not going to go out to the streets to evangelize, go out to the hedges and bring in people, well, then why are you coming to church? You call yourself an evangelist, or are you a Jehovah's Witness?
All right. Pastor Charlotte,
We're not going door to door and evangelize. That's what we pay you to do. That's what they told the pastor.
Y'all don't pay me, so I don't know about paying.
Yeah, you know what? Just let me know which side of the fence this comment came from, because I don't know one of us that's paid or paid enough that y'all could throw that up at us. So
exactly.
I knew what side of the fence where that one came from.
Look, for me, first, I'm going to start off, that was disrespectful. Second, I'm going to go to funny. And why is it funny? Because you, okay, see, I'm on the radio. Hold me, Jesus. Disrespectful. It was disrespectful. It was disrespectful because you're trying to tell me, yeah. And it was funny, too, because everything has a little bit of humor in it for me. So I'm going to say that it was disrespectful because of you're going to tell me that you paid me, but you didn't pay me. And that's how we're going to be able to go get, we have to go out to however way we need. And there are some people that do knock on the door. There are some people, I don't do it, but there are some people that do go, you know, in the communities, and we go and solicit when we're going to have something for the community to knock on to see, you know, for the people to come out or to give them a gift. You know, which is some food or whatever. So we, you know, I have been a part of that ministry too. So you can't say that. But I thought it was disrespectful to me personally.
Okay. I got one more statement that the congregants have said to the pastor. Quit quoting scripture. The Bible has no place in a business meeting.
Repeat that? I'm sorry.
Quit quoting scripture. The Bible has no place in a business meeting. Disrespectful, Elder Beard, or funny?
You said in a business meeting?
Yes. In a business meeting.
Wow. I would say disrespectful because the word of God is true. And as long as I got breath, I'm going to preach the word of God and the good news, and I suggest that you try it yourself. Read it for yourself.
Okay. Pastor Charlotte, quit quoting scripture. The Bible has no place in a business meeting.
The Bible has the scriptures. I'm sorry. That was disrespectful because the word is in everything. We take the scriptures in the business meeting, and everything that we do, because you got to live by the word. And whatever we do for God is in the word. So therefore, a scripture is going to come out if you're in the meeting of something of a situation or let's do tithing, you know, because that always coming up in every meeting. So when you're talking about giving back or helping somebody, there's a scripture that's going to back up everything that you say. Because if you don't have scripture to back it up, then it's not even going to be of the Lord. It's going to be you. And we want to stand on everything that we do with the word of God.
Okay,
so disrespectful once again. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Elder Bid, tell us about something that was said to you that was disrespectful and how you handled it.
I asked a particular person to do something, and I got the response, why? So I told him, why not? I mean, because you should be a servant. You should want to do the will of God. If I asked you to do something, I wouldn't ask you to do something that I wouldn't do. So I would tell them that, and I would let them know, no uncertain terms, that was disrespectful. You disrespected me and you disrespected God.
Do they keep the job? Do they keep the position?
I would ask them to step down and give us some thought of what they said, because apparently you're not serving God the way that you should. So you should step down and step back and then see what you said. According to what you said, you should step down and look back on what you said.
Okay, okay, okay. So there's a... Okay, no, I'll hold on to that one. I'll hold on to that one. Pastor Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Elder Beard. Pastor Charlotte, something that was said to you that was disrespectful.
Yes. One of the biggest ones were one of the young ladies that was in the choir. She said that she wanted to talk to me. So I went over to her and had conversation. And when I went over to have conversation to her, the rest of some of the other members surrounded me. And they were screaming and telling me what I should do in the situation. And so they started to be very disrespectful, cussing. And so I was telling them that they needed to stop. So what I found out was that their plan was they wanted to fight, physically fight.
They
so
wanted to fight you?
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
And so the people that was on the side with me, they wanted to fight them also. So what I had to do was tell them that they needed to get out. That was one. And this was right after service. And service was high that day, too. And so that I told them that they had to leave the building. So when they left, they thought that they was going to all come back and sit in their position. And I set everybody down. So when I set all of them down, of course, I was everything, but when y'all needed me, you know, so I wanted to have a meeting with them. And so when I tried to have a meeting with them, after the meeting, they all, I let everybody say what they wanted to say. They didn't like what I said because they tried to tell me what to do. And just like in some of the questions, like you say, you know, when they come to you, they want you to tell them that it's okay of what they're doing, and it wasn't. So I set everybody down. The meeting was over, and then they left. And when they left, they didn't come back. And that was okay because I had already had a talk with the Lord about it before we met again, and I already knew that it was their exit. So you know how it is. It takes one person that takes a group, and that's how that went. So that was one of my biggest disrespectful that I have dealt with. So it was like starting the ministry from bottom up because a lot of them played a position, you know, had, you know, was over different areas, you know, of in the ministry. But it was okay now, because that's when you learn how you got to do it all yourself when you first start. So it was good for me.
Okay. You got to learn how to play the piano and the tambourine at the same time, the drums, and, you know, your six-year-old has to learn how to play the drums at the time. That's how. And, you know, and people wonder why a lot of times family is always at the helm of the positions. And it's not to say that family can't do you wrong. But when y'all pack up and y'all go, at least I know who's still going to be standing with me. What do you think about that dynamic, Elder Beard, you know, when you put the family, you know, and people have complained about that in certain churches, you know, with family does everything and, you know, what do you think about that as a supporting factor of, you know, as a protected to when everybody gets up and leaves, hey, you know, we got to still be standing at the end of the day.
Right. I believe that they really don't understand the principle of leadership, or you have to be a good follower to be a leader, and they don't want to follow anything. Why are you wasting your time? And you trying to waste my time also. I'm talking to you, and I believe that if you're not happy here, it's best that you leave. Why stay here and be miserable and try to be disruptive if you're not happy? And that's what I would say. I wouldn't get angry. Maybe I would get angry, but I wouldn't sin. I would tell them in love that, you know, if you feel the way that you feel, you're free to leave. We're not going to hold you back because this is not the place for you.
That's all right. Pastor Charlotte, what do you think of, you know, the fact that, you know, sometimes you just got to put family in place to make sure that, you know, when everybody gets up and leaves, I know this church is still standing in every way.
Right. People do get mad at that. But like you said, those are the ones that's going to stand by you through thick and thin. We, you know, family are getting mad at you, but even in the midst of that, they know that, you know, I'm here to help you. I'm here to do what you asked me to do, and they'll be more committed, you know, with helping, you know, build the ministry. And so if the people who were, you know, I've dealt with both sides of the family that works together really good, and then I have been in ministries where that the family has taken over, you know, and where that particular sister singing and she can't sing. Y'all be talking about I can't sing. She can't really sing, but she's leading every song. So I've been in that situation too, where that you have someone that can, you know, hold a note, you know, and you don't put them in position because, you know, only the family is running it. So I've seen, you know, where families have, you know, made the church separate with each other, you know, so I have seen that too. But when the time comes, family's going to stick with you to the end. You know, and that's where everybody gets so mad. But don't get mad when you don't want to be involved. There's so many people that want to sit in the pews, and then they don't want to do nothing, but they got everything to say. You know, and that becomes a problem. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to be, you know, it's a team. It takes a team to be able to, you know, you good in this and you're good in that and you're good in this, you know what I mean? You know, just like we make jokes about of people cooking, you know what I mean? Where that, you know that your strong point ain't frying chicken. So don't bring chicken, baby. You did real good with that, you know, gravy, you know, for example. And, you know, so stick with what you know that you're good at. And that's what I always say to people. What are you good at? You know, we talk about how, you know, the mean person that you first meet is the usher. Why you want no boo? That's not your spot. That's not your spot. You know what I mean? Let's do something else. We need to put you somewhere else because it takes a team. And one of the things that your first impression, when someone walks into the ministry, their first impression is what they see to know if I'm going to come back again. And that's where we fall at, you know, because if you slide in and nobody knows that, you ever been to a church and they don't know who you are, they don't know that you are a pastor, and you come in just visiting and you sit in the back and you hear everything about the church.
Mm-hmm.
That's happened
mm-hmm.
to you, Pastor?
Hello, yeah.
You know, so
they talking about the pastor. They talking about everybody.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. So And therefore, dealing with that, you know, where that's another mistake of people of doing, disrespect, because we're still in disrespect. Even in that case, you know, you're disrespecting the house, you're disrespecting the pastor, you're disrespecting even the first person, you know, you came in, they don't know you from nobody, and you're sitting there. That's disrespectful to you because they don't know where you are. They don't know, you know, if you know Christ. You just walked in the door. That's all they seen. They saw you walk in the door. They're not showing you the love of Christ. You know, so that's disrespectful. And and then they don't want to welcome you. As soon as they say, oh, Pastor Steph is in the building, and oh, my God, God bless you. No, no. Too late. I don't heard what you said. I already heard what you said.
Thank you so much.
So that all falls into the family, too. You know, that falls into the family, too. Not just people who just go there, but the family, too. We have to be very careful. If you don't have the heart for it, you know, and you're not going to really, truly give your 1,000%, because people say 100%. But when it comes to God, we should give our 1,000% of all, you know, give him our best in everything that we do. Your best in giving a fan, your best in smiling, whatever it is, and including the people that just go there as well as the family that are helping in the ministry. Because one thing that it can hurt the ministry, family included.
All righty. Thank you so much, the Beards, Elder Lee and Pastor Charlene Beard, for our special edition of Church Folk and Disrespectful Congregants. Thank you so much. We thank you for blessing our morning, and we pray you have a blessed day.
You do the same. God bless you.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Elder Beard. All right. Yes, people do say those things. Those were real quotes. We got a poll that we took. Let's say good morning to Shanti. Good morning, Shanti.
Good morning.
How are you?
Fine, thank you.
That's good. We had two polls. What do we have? What are the results?
Okay, so for the death penalty, should that man who killed his children get the death penalty? 100% favored in the poll, yes. I'm sorry, no, he should not get death penalty. Said that's
okay.
Too easy. Yeah, it's too easy. He should either go for psychiatric treatment. And another listener sent in, he may be able to be converted while doing his time and then help others. So no death penalty.
All righty. And what's our other poll? With the burglars being and the drug dealers having their slate wiped clean.
Yes, and that was 100%. Yes, they should be given another chance. One listener sent in, they think it's a good and fair idea, especially for the black community, because we know how they go after us to ruin us in that way. And another listener sent in, yes, if you stayed out of trouble, I don't see a problem.
All right. Well, thank you for relaying our poll results, Shantice.
You're welcome.
All right. Have a blessed day.
You
wow,
do.
That was interesting. Thank you. Thank you, Shantice. That was interesting to get 100% on either side. Okay. Well, we have come to the moment where we hold hands and we hold hearts and we go before the Lord together. The Heavenly Father, we thank you, oh God, for being so kind, so gracious to us, waking us up today, allowing us to see a new day. God, you woke us up with brand new mercies. And Lord, we have put out a poll that asked, should there be a clean slate? Well, we want to thank you first, because how many times have you cleaned our slate? How many times have you looked beyond our faults and found our needs? God, how many times have you given us another chance? Oh, to coin a phrase, God of a second chance is an understatement. You have continually just kept us lifted. You have continuously awakened us. to just give us that next opportunity. And yes, Lord, we know that we can go either way. And you knew that we could go either way. You knew whether we would, but you still gave us that next chance. So, God, we're grateful. We're grateful today because we couldn't even be taking this poll. We couldn't even be having this conversation if you were not merciful to give us an opportunity by throwing sins in the sea of forgetfulness, God. How can we say thank you? Your love is far more than we are ever really worthy of, but you continue to give it to us each and every day, God. Lord, we're going to lift up all of those congregants who don't know how to be respectful to leadership. Your word speaks as to how we should treat leadership, how we need to give respect, because in respecting them, we ultimately respect you. And we ask you, dear Heavenly Father, to touch their hearts, touch their spirit, touch their understanding, touch every thought that they have, that they would remember that they are talking to you when they're talking to the leaders, dear Heavenly Father. That we can't just say what we want to say, that we still have to have the level of respect that's due. And we thank you, God, for pointing that out to us today, for some of us who may have said not maybe these things, but something that was questionable, something that would make someone say, you know what, when I said that to the pastor, that I need to now go back and apologize. We ask you, God, to touch every heart, even to some leaders who have been disrespectful to leaders. Because we know even, God, on that level, the respect is not always there. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for just having Pastor Beard on with her husband, dear Heavenly Father. We pray, God, that even that work together today, God, would help to build their strength, the strength in their relationship, God, that their marriage could have one more tick mark as to something else they have done together, God, that they would remember that moment and that they would walk forward and help other couples in ways that they have never even thought of, God, that they even that right there would just plant a seed in each of them, God, so that they could work together even more, dear Heavenly Father. We're not going to underestimate anything you do or why you do it, God. Thank you for putting a yes in Elder Beard's spirit, God, because you need to do what you need to do in any way that you call it out to us, dear God. We may not even be thinking about working and evangelizing in these ways, God, but we thank you for always keeping us involved, always expanding our horizons, always giving us something else to think about, giving us something else to do, God, and we would never be disrespectful to say no when you call on us, dear Heavenly Father. Thank you. Thank you for teaching whatever you taught today, God, because multiple lessons were there, and we're giving you thanks, God, for always investing in us. And, Lord, as we go forward in this segment, God, we pray that we're amenable as to however you would have this to go forward, God, because this is all in your plan. This is all in your will. And let us stay listeners and watchers for who you are and give you the respect to maneuver however you need to. We thank you, God, for every listener. Let every ear that hear do what you say do, that they would go and search your word for a higher way to live. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray, amen. What a conversation today. You know, it's a lot. It's a lot to be a leader. You know, we talk about that a lot on this due time with Pastor Steph. You know, people say things to you, and, you know, for some reason, they don't see it as disrespect. And that's why I had to ask, is it disrespectful or funny? Because sometimes when you hear these things for the first time, it makes you chuckle. And then sometimes you got to step back and go, well, that was quite disrespectful. Have you ever had that happen to you? Like, when you first hear it, it don't hit you the same way. And then after a while, you're like, wait a minute. And I laughed at that. Or, thank God I laughed at that. Because had I responded the way I wanted to respond, you know, and I made a joke and said, you know, to the Beards, you know, we have to have classes. Because I'm going to be honest. Sometimes you need to fight fire with fire. Sometimes these people have been so out of control for so long that they would not have respect until you put them in their place. And you don't have to cuss them out. You don't have to be harsh. You don't have to, you know, just be direct. I had somebody say to me yesterday, I told them, you know, someone had said something to me and how I responded, and she laughed and she said, you know what, you've always been, what is she, I can't even think of the word. I don't know, as soon as I get to something sometimes, you know, I lose my thought. But she was like, you've always been, you know, direct. And I was like, because you have to be. You have to be. Because if you don't, people will walk all over you. People will walk all over you. And like I said, you don't have to cuss them out. But you know, I'm going to let you know that what you said was a bit much. And some of the things that, you know, I gave to the Beards, I'm like, really? Somebody actually said, you know, what you, that's why I said, even think about, well, I can listen to you, but I can't see you. You ain't here to see me. You're here to listen to what God has sent through me. So seeing me is so you just can't do it. Then I invite you to sit outside and just listen. Because as long as you're hearing, then there can be a change. But until that time, you know, if watching me distracts you so much, oh, please, don't let me be a distraction to you. How about we just put you, stay home and just call in and we'll let you hear. We've done that before, you know, for somebody who couldn't get to church, you know, we just hold the phone open. How about you be one of them? You know, it really have to think about, you know, some of the things that people say, and some of the things that I read to them were just clear that they didn't understand. Like, I think it was Elder Beard who said, do you understand your position when you say, you know, we're not going door to door and evangelize, that's what we pay you to do. Well, as Pastor Sean said, we don't even get paid for this job. We're not paid, not by you, that is, not in money, that is. There's no salary here. So it's not what you pay me to do. And evangelizing is everybody's job. Now, do you go door to door? No, maybe not. But if that's what leadership gave you, that God said, you know what, we ought to go door to door, then it's not up to you to tell me as the leader. You know, I remember my grandmother used to always say, the boards. She said, oh, these boards are going to rip up the church. These boards, I mean, people, once you're on a board, you talk about disrespectful. Oh, they are disrespectful because for some reason they feel like they run things, and because they run things, it supersedes what the pastor has. Like, they dictate what the pastor does. And we have to remember that nothing dictates pastor, because the pastor gets the first word from God. You are never going to get a word for the pastor before the pastor gets a word from God. It ain't going to work like that. Because if that's the case, the animals would be running the zoo. So let's remember our place. And let's keep in mind that we do, if we want to say something to the pastor, make sure we consult God first so that we do and say what we need to do and say in a respectful manner, okay? You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank the Bigs who were my Due Time crew today. Thank you, Elder Bigs, for joining us. And I want to thank you for listening and hanging out with us today. I so appreciate you being with us. Please, 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 if you have not already done so, choose Jesus as your personal Savior right now, because later is not promised to us. Until tomorrow with Wow Wednesday, God spares our life. I love you.